like you're all straight and normal sized, so.
We'll also get off to that.
Welcome to Punta Vista, episode 423. You are entering the world of the 1976 science fiction film Logan's Run. I'm Andrew, and I'm also Logan. I'm a Sandman, and it's my job to identify and chase down those who have turned from green to red, indicating that they are approaching or have passed the fucking disgusting age of 30.
Ugh.
I've also got a pretty sick, tight-fitting black outfit on. Everybody else is wearing, like, kind of cool green and red tunics and toga kind of things, and we're all looking good as hell. But anyway, I basically work for the Millennial Termination Squad, I guess. And wouldn't you know it, I've rounded up three runners. Those who desperately hope to escape their fate. And if I find out they're over 30, I zap them with my weird little gun. Zap!
Fuck.
Lucy, your life depends on this. Say something to demonstrate to me that you are not chopped.
Oh, fuck. 6'7". 6'7". Is that... am I doing it? This is an audio medium.
Don't ask if you're doing it right. You got to act like you're doing it. Don't.
Is the hands part of it?
The hands is...
Ben. The hands is part of it.
Fuck.
Don't ask before I get to you.
What?
Ben has to do two because Ben.
Yeah. Oh, and also it's important that when Lucy says 6'7", we all squealed and went 6'7". At the same time.
6'7".
That's how you know. That's how you know. Ben. I'm pointing my weird little gun at you. Say something a young person would say and prove to me that you are not Unk.
I don't know. I have nothing left. I have
Unk.
Okay.
You're sounding really unk right now.
You
said
unk.
The 6'7" thing. The other things that we've already slipped into our vocabulary are the ones they no longer say. So I don't know. I don't spend any time around these fucking people. Kill me if you must.
This bitch's gem is flashing red in the palm of his hand. I watched Logan's Run last night.
Get it.
Zap! You're getting fucking zapped, dude. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere until I'm finished, because I'm coming back to zap you, okay?
Okay.
I'll wait till the end of the episode, though. Last on the chopping block, at the mercy of me and my weird little gun. It looks kind of like a police baton that's been shortened, you know? And when I fire it, it makes like a fiery flash, but nope. Visible projectile comes out of it. I find it distracting when I shoot people with it. Anyway, it's our friend Demi from BigSoftTitty.png and Dragon Friends, and so you want to win a penis pump. Demi.
Hi.
Your life is on the line.
Sorry.
Talk to us in a way that proves that you are not chuggy.
I don't cuff my pants.
Yes. And okay. They're big and unflattering.
Really big?
They're really big and they're
I never cuffed my pants, for the record. I skipped that entirely.
Yep.
If that was a thing that we were doing,
you're
our age
dead,
bracket.
Buddy. Like,
oh,
we're not.
Okay. Can I,
we,
I
just, well, then you'd have to wear pants to cuff them.
That's very true.
Did you skip the entire phase by not wearing pants for any of it?
One weird trick.
Cuffing your gay little shorts. Also, Andrew, I think you're chopped. I think you're unk, and I think it's time that we all said it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's actually the plot of the movie. The plot of the movie is that I'm also hitting the point where I'm going to die, and I'm like, holy shit, I've been killing all these people for turning 30, and also I'm kind of turning 30.
I'm kind of turning 30.
I'm kind of suddenly 30. Okay, Lil Ka is becoming Unk.
Jesus fuck.
Christ.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been just vaporizing all these people who turn 30 with zero sympathy. But now that I'm about to turn 30, I'm getting a whole different perspective.
I think 30 is kind
of
the new 20.
I'm
starting to feel that
18.
Way.
Sort of feeling that way. Shoe meet other foot, I guess.
Just as a quick sidebar here, I was like, oh my God, I've come up personally with the greatest joke in the history of all time that Logan's Run should have been called Suddenly 30, like that movie. But Suddenly 30 was only called Suddenly 30 in Australia and nowhere else.
I thought ours was called 13 going on 30, and theirs is called Suddenly 30.
No, I think ours is Suddenly 30.
Ours is Suddenly 30 because we don't use the insane expression like 16 going on 20 or
yeah, because
whatever.
Yeah. The only time you're allowed to use that is if you're a little Nazi in a pergola. Lucy knows. She doesn't. She's just womanly nodding
just woman.
At me.
I'm just supporting you as a woman.
You're talking about The Sound of Music?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You are 16 going on 17. I'm a Nazi in a pergola type of stuff. you know,
type shit.
I just realized this week, actually, that for my whole life I've thought pagola and pagoda were the same words.
Do they not mean the same thing?
I think pagoda is like a bigger, larger, more elaborate structure.
But
I
they're
think.
Both a structure, like a domed structure.
They're
right?
pretty much the same thing, okay. but they're.
I'm going to say a pagoda is an Asian structure. As opposed to a pagola.
Isn't a pagola?
I'm gonna say that I'm an Asian woman.
Hey,
and
we can all say
that's what
we want.
I came on the podcast to announce.
Pagodas are common in Thailand, Cambodia, China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, and other parts of
he's
Asia.
He's gone. He's stuck on pagoda.
He's done.
I'm just saying it's not racist to say a pagoda is an Asian structure.
That's an Asian structure. It just sounds like those. Oh.
Some kind of, oh. No, I think it sounds
an Asian structure.
Asian.
It's actually not racist that I love Asian stuff.
It is a word that sounds like it was born to be said in the Australian accent, though.
Pagoda.
Pagoda.
Like a pagoda. Yeah. Pick up
I need
pagoda.
To go to the pagoda.
I just bought a secondhand pagoda.
I bought a secondhand pagoda, but right now there's boxes of peanut butter in it.
I thought I was getting a pagola. I ended up with a bloody Asian pagoda.
Oh, you bought an import. Oh.
Oh, no. My pagola's Chinese.
Oh, hey, Demi.
Hi.
Before we talk for a whole hour and get to the end of the episode, what do you got going on? If you were to plug something, what would you plug?
I want to plug. I want to plug Dragon Friends because I'm having a really good time playing Dragon Friends D&D. It's me, Michael Hing, Tom Cardy, Eden Lacey, Alex Lee, and Simon Greiner. It's fucking fun. It's not, I mean, the best sell that you can do about a D&D podcast is like, but it's actually good.
Yeah.
So, like,
you should see that very early on in the pitch because most people already check out when you get to like D&D.
Exactly.
100%.
No, but it doesn't suck and it won't make you uncomfortable.
No, well,
it won't
because
feel weird.
Because we are all actually talented comedians. So it is actually funny and good. We're just basically doing it to be like, yeah, but what's the point of the podcast? you know? And it's great. And we do play D&D. My character's name is Dinner Munchabout. I've realized that I only name D&D characters when I'm hungry because my last character's name was Panda Brand Oyster Sauce. And the one before that was Mr. Pizza. So I think.
I like Mr. Pizza.
I like Mr. Pizza. Anyway, yeah, I want more people to listen to Dragon Friends because it's really, really fun. And Tom Cardy recently did an Uber ad with Shania Twain.
He did.
Insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane.
It was really fucked up.
The world is a very... Do you reckon... Was there just an Australian version of the ad or is this one of the one where like they have like Venezuelan Tom Cardy CGI'd in for the Venezuelan rollout of the ad?
Good question.
Do they have a Venezuelan Tom Cardy?
What would that sound like?
Yeah. Only the Venezuelan Tom Cardy.
This is a Venezuelan Tom Cardy.
Oh, look it up.
One for every nation.
Venezuelan Tom Cardy.
I feel like it's Australia specific and
it must
I don't know,
be.
Like I've seen a bunch of ads lately that seem like someone's just pouring money into just getting an American celebrity to be in an Australian ad. For something. Fucking Steve Buscemi doing Telstra ads.
Yeah, oh, we're Japan now. We're like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yay!
Yay!
Yeah! Yay!
Oh, and by weird coincidence, by weird coincidence, kind of racist Japanese themed ads are back as well.
Yes.
Like KFC's
I mean, that's mostly
been doing...
just the -196. Oh, KFC too.
Yeah, they've got like a Korean or Japanese source kind of thing. And they're back to doing the like having Japanese people do like dubbed over voices and all the it's like when The Simpsons went to Japan in the 90s.
Oh,
it's got that kind of vibe again.
Interesting. There's a non-zero chance that one of the people listening to this podcast episode right now worked on that ad campaign.
What for KFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they know what they're doing.
Hey bud.
Do you remember the
was it the Canton ads? No, McCain's yeah. Frozen Vegetables, maybe. Whichever one it was, where it's like the twist of the episode is that the guy is white because he's riding on a bike wearing a paddy hat and he's getting all the stir-fry yeah. vegetables mixed together in the basket. Oh, and then he God, takes the hat off. You go, he's white.
Oh, no, he's Australian.
This white Australian is going to have a stir-fry. And it's the 90s, so this will be the first time.
Way back then, we were doing You'll Mind If a White Boy Speak a Little Chinese.
Yeah. All right. Sorry to bring this up, but Lucy did order... What? Lucy ordered a lot of food that yeah. I really enjoyed in Japan, and I was like, okay.
Were you like, she's doing the voice?
Their staff didn't speak English at all, so
didn't speak English, so I had to Lucy take over. Had to go Japan mode.
I had to and go I was full like, Japan mode.
White Girl Shocks restaurant? What the fuck?
Yes.
It kind of was like that. She was so shocked.
She literally like jumped for a second and said, oh, sugoi. She was so, so relieved. It was awesome.
And it's culturally sensitive too. So yes. Some of the stuff we say on here, when you get mad at us, just think about moments like this.
Yeah.
You know? We're people of the world.
We are culturally sensitive.
That's right. Never get mad at us.
I have one Greek friend.
Is it Alexi?
Yeah.
Me too! One Greek friend!
One shared one Greek friend.
Tom, I'm trying out a new catchphrase. What do you think about it?
Is he just sitting in the corner on a cuck chair, his head?
We do have a cuck chair in our room, but it has become the one that the cat sits on, and that's kind of upsetting.
Cucked by Norm?
Well, I mean, cucking Norm, I guess.
I got that backwards.
Good clarification. Yeah. Hey, would you guys ever let a pet see you have sex?
I don't like it.
I mean, sometimes it happens by accident.
Yeah.
Don't realize that the cat is across the road with a telescope.
If blindfold,
I don't care for it.
If this blindfold falls.
I don't know
how'd you get out of that. You got your little paws in handcuffs.
I don't know if you have owned a cat before, Ben, but they enter exit rooms much more quietly than a very large dog does.
It depends and on
also,
the animal.
They can get onto the bed without you really noticing if you are for some reason distracted, if your attention is elsewhere.
And we took the bell off of our cat, so now it's like there's a...
Now we can just fuck. It's fine. We're not looking over our shoulders.
Oh, the jingling!
You hear that? Do you hear that?
It does sound like we have a really huge cat, so like when he gets excited, it does sound like there's a gnome in the house, kind of like like running about. But we've realized that I have a husband. His name is Tom, and sometimes we make gentle love to each other, and
that's fine.
And every now and then we'll be like, oh, you were here, you know, to like looking around and being like,
been here the whole time, huh?
The fuck? What were you getting out of that?
What about all you, right. Ben? You can't with
oh,
Lewis.
Never. No, no,
Lewis is
not.
Like a man.
No,
it's
we're like
man.
Closing like multiple doors between us and whatever room that he's in because that would just... I don't want to have to deal with the follow-up questions he has.
No, he would have some questions. I don't think he knows what that is.
Yeah. I think your dog probably weighs like the same amount as me. He is like a guy.
He's a big guy. Yeah, he's a big fella.
Yeah.
He is a kind of guy. In fact, there's so many different kinds of guys out there, you could make a list of them. It's time for a list of a kind of guy, the Great American Hall of Name.
It's the Great American Hall of Name.
All right. These are all from a list of death notices from the state of Nebraska in the year 1956.
And please remember, we said before that we are culturally sensitive.
Yes.
So that covers this as well. It covers anything from this point on.
Yes. Here we go. Ernest Hedgecock. Kermit Norling. D. Denzel Tarr.
Say Denzel.
Denzel. Denzel. D-E-N-S-I-L. Denzel.
Denzel.
Tarr.
Denzel.
Denzel.
Delbert Skellinger.
Fuck me.
Oscar Dunkelberger.
Oh, these are good.
Yeah, this was rewarding. And I only had to read about 13 or 14,000 of them to get a list of 20 good ones. Myrtle Harmony.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that pleasant?
That's really nice.
Harmony.
Yeah, what about this? Myrtle Feelhaver.
Yeah. of the sensitive Nebraska Feelhavers?
That's right.
Notoriously emotional people.
Tinus Vanderweeg.
Fuck you.
That is spelt T-E-A-N-U-S. Tinus.
Tinus.
Honking on my tinus.
Because I'm just a Tinus Vanderweegy.
Hattie Spitznogel.
Fuck you.
Come the fuck on.
How can you do that?
What was in the water in Nebraska in 1900?
You can't just...
Well, yeah, I guess the stuff in the water in 1956 killed them, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Man. Gladys Cumpston.
You can't, though.
You can't, no.
You've got to just have a different one.
You've got to change it.
Have a different one.
It to Dumpston. Anything. One.
Just change it. It's not that expensive even to change your name. You just got to do it.
It's really cheap. It's like $70.
It's so, so cheap.
It would have been like a nickel back then.
Yeah.
Tunis Lap.
Tunis Lap?
Tunis Lap.
Tunis Lap?
Tunis Lap?
Tunis Lap? Tuna?
Tunis Lap?
Flornay Butts. Flornay.
Flornay.
I can't think of another way to pronounce this.
Flornay Butts.
Flornay Butts.
Yeah.
Flornay.
Flornay, yeah.
In this house, we use a chair at all times. Flornay Butts.
Flornay Butts.
Fanny Corny.
Fanny Corny.
In this house, we fuck all our vegetables.
Yeah, it's a real country girls make do name.
Yes.
Manly Purdy.
Oh, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not as often, but sometimes. Hope Swick.
Oh. Hope Swick. Kind of sounds Swick. Like a... Like a yoga pants type brand thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, maybe I'm just thinking about sweat wicking. That's all it was.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Rex Zink.
Oh,
that's a fucking cool name.
That's a great name.
Okay.
That's a fucking like 80s Marvel. Rex. Like Rex. Secret identity name. Glee Lush.
Oh.
Oh.
Pearl Harsh.
Oh.
Oh.
Guy Cohn.
you guys ever see like a wiener that does look like a gnome hat? Like, you guys ever seen one of them wieners that
person?
Kind of
that are like video. Really, no.
That are fat at the bottom, and then sometimes they got like go skinny, and then they've got like a long foreskin, so there's like a little bit at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
I'm sorry.
That
yes.
That kind. Yes.
August Winter.
Oh, that's quite
usually.
Nice. Yes.
Well,
generally.
Down here at least. Yeah.
Down here,
but not up there. Carl Suck.
Carl Suck?
Carl Suck.
Carl Suck.
Randy Mayo.
Ooh. Oh, man, I love... Fuck.
Yeah.
Have I told you guys that I have a friend with a really, really American name who lives in Chicago?
Go on.
Ricky Peacock.
Oh, come on.
That's really good. That's a, like, Hollywood producer.
And you know what sucks is he's really swaggy and cool. And so, like, you're like, yeah, you may as well be called Ricky Peacock.
Yeah, great. You're Ricky Peacock. Name? You did it.
Yeah, that's his birth name. It's not even his screen name. I asked him.
You give yourself the name Ricky Peacock and you're cool swaggy.
That's peacocking, ironically.
That is peacocking. Yeah.
Frank Offer.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's better than...
He's blunt about it.
Than like a duplicitous one, yeah. Hmm. Gus Cosmos.
Oh, I want to hear more about Gus Cosmos.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. Fred Peppercorn. That is spelled P-E-P-E-R-K-O-R-N.
Oh,
peppercorn.
Fuck, that's even better. Peppercorn.
That's so Fred peppercorn. Peppercorn.
Your last name can't be Peppercorn.
It can be.
No. It's not a... No, unfortunately, it can't be. I've just heard from one of my main sources on this call.
We got two things on the list at the Department of Birth, Deaths, and Marriages. Can't be Hitler, can't be Peppercorn. I'm sorry, that's it. Alberta Fudge.
Oh. Yum.
Well, it sounds like one of those things that's like a ironic nickname for it's poop. I think
it's
Alberta
poop.
Fudge
it's
is
Canadian
poop.
Poop. Yeah.
It's Canadian
Alberta
poop.
Fudge. Yeah.
Yep.
A Cleveland
Alberta
steamer.
Fudge. Yeah.
Alberta Fudge.
I got a little triplet of names here that I just think have a good cadence together. Mm-hmm. Roy Ray. Mm-hmm. Claude Klaus. Clarence Clements.
That's nice.
Now, this one, I think, kind of just let them wash over you as a tone poem. There's about 15 in this list.
Okay.
Casimir Smeal, Otto Schmale, Molly Shimp, Charles Shrimp, Caroline Shamp, Catherine Samp, William Pamp, Otto Chab, Mary Sloop, William Krebs, Saundra Schnaes, Louis Schnorr, Herman Scheel, Merlin Schlake, and James Chart.
Charles Shrimp. I might cop that as my new Yahtzee name,
I think
actually.
That's your new Yahtzee name for 2026.
Charles
Save
Shrimp.
It for New Year's Eve, Lucy.
Well, I'll keep it on the back burner.
Yeah, just write that down in your phone somewhere because you
just,
will have had a couple of drinks
note
by
in my
that
phone.
Point.
Yeah. It says Charles Shrimp.
Charles Shrimp.
That is shrimp with two P's, by the way, which I think is just a delightful little detail.
Trampin'.
And that concludes Great American Hall of Name. Thank you, Nebraska.
Thanks, Ben. Wow.
I don't think people really understand the like unreasonable amount of labor that Ben puts into doing this particular segment.
Yeah.
Sometimes people send in a thing and they go, hey, just for Great American Hall of Name, here's one funny name I heard.
Here's one name.
You don't
it's like
useless.
You don't understand what's happening here.
That you can't just say an American name and then list it off.
No. And honestly, football players are cheating. Like, just doesn't matter.
Also, because whenever people send us football players, it's 95% of the time, you're like, oh, that's a guy with a, we can't. Yeah.
Key and Peele can do it.
Key and Peele can do it.
Key and Peele can definitely
do it.
Yes.
We can't do that.
Key and Peele are allowed to do it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, all I'm saying is people think they send one in and they think they're playing the same sport, not even in the same league.
Yeah.
No.
You are outside of the ballpark. You are sitting in your truck. You are listening to country music alone.
Yeah.
You're not in the game.
Then you fell asleep and you didn't even go to the game. Okay.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
You pissed yourself in the car. You're not telling any of your friends about it. Yep. Why'd you go home so suddenly the other day? I realized I left
the microwave on. I programmed the microwave to go for 8 hours and I shouldn't have done that. I need to go.
I had to go.
I put my CDs in the microwave. I forgot I was drying my CDs.
That's what's happening to you, the listener, who nicely sent something in for us.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, dumbass. Fuck you. And if you've got anything else nice you'd like to send us, you can contact us on the Bunta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista hotline. You can send us an email, mailbag@buntavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter.
You could even message Facebook. We don't really check the Facebook, yeah. 800-317-515. That's the Punta Vista hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Punta Vista hotline. I thought you were, when you were doing the names before, and it was Clarence Clements, and I thought, the saxophone player from the E Street Band? But that's Clarence Clemens.
Not to be
confused. Really, really hitting a very similar sound.
Yeah.
You know?
I see why that'd be confusing.
It must feel so good to give your kid a stupid alliterative name.
Oh, I bet
it must
it's great.
Be fucking awesome.
God.
It's like you're naming a fucking Marvel character, you know?
Yeah.
Peter Parker.
What would I?
J. Jonah Jameson.
What could I do with Lardner? Like
Larry Lardner.
Larry Lardner is pretty good.
Lawrence. You could start with Lawrence Lardner and then call him Larry.
Lawrence Lardner. Bam.
Yes.
He has to become a superhero at this point.
What about just Lump?
Lump Lardner.
Lump Lardner.
That's like a Lumpy. Fucking 1920s
ready.
American Lumpy boxer's Lardner. Nickname. Yeah, Lump Lardner.
Lumpkin. Lumpkin Lardner.
Lumpkin.
This was sent in to us by the listener Daniel. This is a continuation of Spookvember. The spookiest month of the year, as people tell us their experiences with the paranormal. Now, we've had some amazing ones so far. UFOs, gnomes, shadow people, harp. This one is quite possibly my favorite unexplained thing that has happened.
Oh, shit.
All right, Daniel gives us this. I only have one event in my life that no matter how much I rack my brain, I cannot explain. When I was in middle school, I was in Vancouver, British Columbia, swimming in the water. The part of the beach I was at was fairly empty and there was no one within at least 15 meters of me. Suddenly, I felt something bop me on the head and bounce off and fall into the water. I turned around and saw an empty hotel-sized shampoo bottle floating next to me.
Okay.
One of those tiny ones that only holds like 25 mil. Yeah, just one shot of shampoo.
Yeah.
Since it was so tiny and light, there was no way someone could have thrown it and hit me on the head, and there was nothing over my head that it could have been dropped from. There also wasn't anything flying over me like a helicopter where it could have been dropped from. To this day, I still wonder where that tiny hotel shampoo bottle came from. Time portal.
Time portal.
Donnie Darko time portal.
You got Donnie Darko.
You got Donnie Darko'd, except
instead
of...
He got Donnie Darko'd. He fucked it up, though.
Yeah. Well, you were meant to... Mate...
Yeah.
Maybe he already went through the pocket dimension where he wasn't there for when it was going to have hit him on the head. And then he woke up and decided, I'm going to let it hit me on the head this time.
Oh.
The shampoo bottle?
Like in Donnie Darko.
Like in Donnie Darko.
Like in Donnie Darko.
Yeah. And now some stuff is different because he let it hit him on the head. Maybe not like a bunch
his
of stuff is different.
A little
different.
Bit cleaner.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit cleaner. When I was in Japan, there was a point where I was like getting one of the vending machines over there are so fucking sick.
They're so good.
I think I was getting a Boss coffee out of a vending machine, and a Totoro just fell from like a tiny Totoro just fell from the air and hit me on the shoulder and went on the ground, and I was
what?
Like.
What do you mean?
Just a little guy this big.
A little plastic guy?
A little Totoro?
Yeah. And I was
tiny
like.
Totoro?
And I just like looked around and was like this. And then I looked over and there was this guy standing there and he was going and pointing at it. And I was like.
Huh?
And he was like, And then wrote on his phone, a gift. Translated it. And I was like, And then just like. Picked it up and kind of walked away, confused,
did
holding
you keep
my
it?
New toe. No, I ended up putting it on top of a vending machine to be like, maybe this will happen to somebody else.
Yeah,
I'm really
I
confused
think
the fuck out of them.
Spiritual meaning.
That's fucking beautiful. Time portal.
Time portal.
Totoro time portal.
Totoro time portal.
Donnie Darko Totoro time portal.
Donnie Darko Totoro time portal.
Classic. But
what? No, all of our noses bleeding at once.
Daniel continues here. Also, I got cyclotroned recently.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I had a tumor that they shoved radiation into me to find, and it was so much radiation that my scintillator, similar to Geiger counter, just screeched at me instead of making individual clicks.
Is that good?
It sounds
Is that good?
Bad, but if they found the tumor, probably good.
I thought he was going to say he went to the fair.
Oh, he went on the cyclotron?
Real. Went fast. Went really fast?
I had a fun time at the circus.
getting shoved full of radiation.
Nothing spooky related to that, though, except the hospital I got my tumor removed at found two statues of the Virgin Mary hidden in the walls a few days before my surgery.
Huh. Sorry?
Yeah. You might be what we call an attractant, a beacon. Yes. For cosmic experiences.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for those.
Do.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, yeah, no. You're not like, you can't really, you are you and you're kind of stuck like that for the rest of your life. But be open. Yeah.
Be
to
open.
Stuff
you
like
are the conduit.
Portals.
Be
yeah.
open to it.
Hey.
Gape yourself to the experience.
Yeah.
Question for the group. If you were in a hospital and you were going to get a, you know, potentially life-threatening surgery, and they said, hey, we found some Virgin Mary statues hidden in the wall. You want us to take them out before your surgery or leave them in and take them out after your surgery? Which are you picking? Because what if they've been, like, blessing all the surgeries?
No,
all the people
yeah, they're,
and you say,
they're load-bearing.
Yeah, just yeah. Yank out those, like, totems of luck for me before you do my stuff. Yeah,
I'd be going, like, I'd be going, like, Indian burial ground mode and being like, let's not build a pool. You just leave those where the fuck they were.
You leave
until
them alone.
I'm done here.
I get my surgery and then we do a controlled demolition of the hospital.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ideally folds back in on itself, like at the end of Poltergeist, you know?
That'd be nice.
It'd be tidier.
Can we just... It's going to go.
Can things just start folding themselves up and disappearing instead of us having to get rid of it all?
It's polite.
Please. It's 2025.
That's right.
I was recently re-listening back to an old episode of Dude, my very favorite podcast that you should listen to. And they were talking about some news that was happening in, I think the episode was from February of 2020. And they were talking about how this one order of like Franciscan nuns that for 140 years had been praying continuously. So someone was always in the chapel praying every day, every night, 24/7.
Yeah.
A prayer chain.
In February of 2020, they stopped. They moved it to just 9 hours a day. And then
just 9 hours a day, huh?
Nobody wants to work anymore.
And then what happened immediately after that?
Oh, those millennial nuns fucked us.
They fucked us. God. It wasn't Guy Sebastian. It was these nuns.
Okay, I don't know what
was
the Guy
Sebastian,
Sebastian thing
though.
Is.
It was also Guy Sebastian.
Where he spread. There was an Instagram post that he did in like January of 2020. Being like
from the Wuhan meat market,
eating some weird things at the Wuhan meat market.
Being like incredible things coming.
Yes, that's what it's saying. Incredible things coming.
Incredible things coming.
Little did he know, or maybe he did.
Maybe he did. I think he knew.
I think he did. I think he is a malevolent force. I think he won Australian Idol by some kind of deal.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He made a deal with some kind of entity.
I don't know if this is a controversial statement. I think if you want work-life balance, joining a nunnery might be one of the things lowest on your list.
Probably.
If you want a lot of you time, if you want a good separation between your vocation and your personal time, maybe don't become a nun and go and live in a nunnery where they happen to be doing 24-hour constant world-saving prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
They fucked that one up so bad. Also, like in that episode where they're talking about it, they obviously don't know what's about to happen either. So there's just a lot of idle
so
speculation.
Crazy.
It's really fucking, it's good stuff.
By the way, being a nun, just like, you gotta just grow up. Oh, I'm married to a gigantic ghost I can't fuck. What are you talking about? It's not, that's the thing,
that's
right?
True.
They're married to Jesus.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
so.
I guess.
Is that what they, or he's their, or God's their husband or something? I don't know. It's just shut up. The thing that my mum used to say about nuns, I remember one time, my mum, this is so disgusting, but I remember she knew nuns because, like, she grew up in England and she was like, yeah, there were nuns at, like, the orphanage that I had to live in. She wasn't an orphan, but her parents were insane and sent her to an orphanage for a bit. And she was like, yeah, there were nuns there. And, you know, oh, they're dirty bitches. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, ah, you know, nuns. You haven't heard that saying about nuns? And I was like, no. And she said, this is what she said. She was like, all right, candles out, girls.
I think they're like, jacking off in there. They're going to town on that thing.
Come on. Yeah, they're right, jacking
mum,
off.
I don't know. I don't know what you... Are they allowed? So they're fucking themselves with candles.
Are they allowed?
Why are you saying this to me? Oh, well, just they're dirty bitches. Okay. That's fine. That's great. Really cool.
I think if you're not jacking off, that's when you start getting like the bloody tears, the stigmata.
Yes.
Like it's going to come out in other ways. You got to deal with it.
It's malevolent energy.
Sometimes.
I think you can have sex with Jesus.
Yeah. Like metaphysically?
I think they are actually fucking.
Like, as long as you're picturing him.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Him or his dad, who is him?
Yes.
Both.
Yep.
Both.
As long as they don't touch each other, it's not gay or incest.
Yeah.
I'm getting Mr. Manhattan'd by the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Dr. Manhattan'd by Dr. the Holy Manhattan. Trinity.
Sorry. Mr. Manhattan. That's just Manhattan. The handsomest guy in Manhattan.
This is before he got his qualifications, okay? Before he went to university and got vaporized.
Can people without penises who are Catholic masturbate? Because it's like the thing is that you can't
have
spill
a spoof.
The spoof that's the problem. Huh? But if you're not spoofing,
they're not talking about, or they just assume that women can't masturbate because
that's probably
why would they want to?
Right?
Yeah. Why would they want to?
Like, why would a woman do that?
Why would they want to?
Women.
Sex stuff, that's none of their business, you know?
No.
Hey, Demi.
Hello.
Anything paranormal ever happened to you?
Ooh, yeah. I got two. One is my old house was like haunted, but it was really funny because it was my middlest sister who was older than me, but was the one that always got picked on, who got like haunted by the ghost. So we're all like, na, 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 instead of really
worrying
about
it. Ghost doesn't like you.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, she would be, anytime she was home alone, it would just be like shit would just be falling off it. Like all of the electrics would turn on at once and she'd be like, oh, it's happening again. And stuff would fall off the shelves and we'd be like, oh, you got haunted again. Sucks for you, Leah.
She was getting like, poltergeisted.
Yeah. So we lived in a house that was like, if ghosts are real, which they are, that house was haunted. Aside from that, I forgot the reason that we know it's haunted is because we used to see this ghost, me and my sister. We only saw her like three times, but we saw this ghost in our granny flat at the back of our house, just like walking in and out of the wardrobe. And we were like, the fuck's going on here? Hey. And we were like, hey, we saw this old lady walking in and out of the wardrobe, and said that to my mom. And she was like, oh, an old lady she died in there. So. Yeah, it was probably her.
Don't say that, Mum.
Oh, no.
Don't say that.
Oh, okay. And apparently she like had a veggie patch where the wardrobe was. And we were like, oh, she was just gardening. The other one was that me and my mum saw a UFO and were like, what the hell? And then...
That was a UFO, right?
It was good if you see it
with someone else.
Mum was like, hey, what's that? And we looked up and there was a huge, like, the stars were being like, blacked out. Yes. And then we saw, like, you know, the number 5 on like a dice, how it goes like dit, 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 dit.
Yeah.
That it was like all black and then lights like that. It was like the size of like 3 football fields or something. And we were like,
oh my God,
that?
You saw a UFO.
We were just like looking at it and going, that's really fucked up, and kind of watched it till it disappeared. And then
that's
we were like,
my favorite kind of UFO sighting out of
and then
all
we're like,
of them.
That's not really my business. We just went inside.
Just don't worry
like,
about
I'm not
it.
Gonna, not
well,
unpacking
what, like,
it.
What are you meant to do about
what
it? You know?
What are
she
you supposed
like,
to do?
How would you like me? Is there even a problem to be solved?
There's not even, I mean, yeah, I was like, I'm not really that curious about it, but that was really super weird. Mum was like, yeah, all right, well, let's go to bed.
Oh my God.
Did you feel any emotions radiating from the craft at all? Did you feel safe or like calm or relaxed?
I guess I kind of was nine, so and I never felt relaxed until I got on Zoloft at the age of 21. So
it's interesting. I'm thinking about there was a spate of sightings in the Hudson Valley in New York that were all like football field or bigger sort of black craft that moved very silently, and a lot of the people that saw it reported that like they instantly felt like an emotional connection with it, and then when it started to go away, they started to immediately be like, oh, no, don't leave.
Oh, well, I guess the equivalent of that for us was like we weren't scared at all. We were just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think it's real. I think it's real, and it's huge, and it's beautiful.
That sounds real.
I hate the ones where it's like, oh, I saw like a 10-foot glowing orb. Fuck off.
Don't.
Nah.
Nah,
I want the
one. Ding dong.
Yeah, idiot.
I want the one from Independence Day.
Yes. I want
but
that one.
Nice. Friendly. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they had mean faces. They did have mean faces.
You see the sequel to that one?
No, I heard it was a real stinker.
It's no good. Yeah. Somehow it's real fucking bad, despite having a pretty stacked cast and a giant version of the fucking alien. You know, the mean-looking aliens from the first one. They got a really big one. Still sucks. How'd they do that? How'd you flub that?
How'd you do that?
I think if you leave it for too long. I think if you leave it for too long, it's just always going to suck.
Just, the juice just wasn't there.
I watched Anchorman with one of my kids.
I reckon with enough time, like if you left it long enough to have forgotten most of it, it would probably hit pretty hard.
I was watching it and enjoying it because I hadn't seen it in years and years and years and years, and I've had a lot of time and distance from that whole like Adam McKay, what's his name, Judd Apatow, that whole early 2000s bit of comedy. Because it like that just became the template for comedy for a while. Was we're just
lightly
doing
improvised
movies
guys.
In a setting. Yeah. It's mostly improvised, and like
Will Ferrell was good at it, but he did give the comedy movie industry a disease by
like a lot of movies turned into that, and like there's a lot of individual funny jokes in those sorts of movies, but they don't hold together as like a movie in the same way.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they're just jokes.
It's just a series of just opportunities series of for people bits. To riff, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're watching this and it's funny, and Evie's also going, "Oh, that's where that's from," about a bunch of different things.
The Simpsons effect.
Yeah, yeah. But Eleanor is like, Eleanor's not loving it at all. And she was thinking about it afterwards, and she was like, I never saw Anchorman, but had the years in between of seeing it and not having seen it, but it existing, just having it quoted at me out of context by people.
Oh yeah.
Just making the jokes from Anchorman
That's
without me
about
having seen
Napoleon
it or known about
Dynamite.
It.
Yeah, me too, Lucy. I was about to fucking say literally Napoleon Dynamite.
I hated that shit.
Don't know who Pedro is, doesn't sound funny at all. Fuck that shit. I'm not having it.
And so you've just had the things from it drilled into you out of context for years before ever encountering it. So she doesn't
that's
have
what
any
were.
Same affection
we just
for
used
it.
To say the same thing over again.
You used to say it out loud.
I love lamp. You turned
used
to your
just
friend.
Say I love lamp for I like 2 years. You'd say it for 2 years.
And we would laugh for hours.
How many t-shirts did they sell with I'm kind of a big deal?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It, you know?
Yeah.
Rich mahogany. Yeah.
We got to kill millennials.
Leather bound
right.
books, yeah.
We should all be
I'm in a class case of emotion.
Oh, yeah.
And 6'7".
Seeing that for the first time, funny as fuck, when I was 14. Holy moly. Just, revolutionary. Can I, a little stuff we should chat about. I have a thesis. Is that nearly every Will Ferrell comedy.
You're not going to play the stinger?
Well, no, because then I was going to transition from this one into the main one.
Do an actual stuff.
This is a stuff we should chat about.
Splitting it into two, though. Precursor.
Yeah. Nearly every Will Ferrell comedy and every Wes Anderson movie has the same central plot, which is that it's about an emotionally stunted man who's unable to actually deal with his life and communicate, learning a little bit of humility. Anchorman, Talladega Nights, mm-hmm. Grand Budapest Hotel, The Life Aquatic.
Of Glory.
Yeah.
Like, and I love Wes Anderson. Biggest offender in the world, but nearly all of them do kind of have the same bent where you're like, you're just using this as a scaffold to start with a ridiculous person who is fun to play and fun to write for, but then because you need an emotional arc, they've got to kind of deal with their emotions by the end of it. They're making the same movies.
That's correct. Hey, Ben, can you say I love Wes Anderson again?
Why? What do you
want to say it again?
I love Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I'll fucking kill you. I had to come back to that.
Bet you do.
You can make your own way to the barbecue this afternoon. Your lift has been rescinded.
You can make your own way to the barbecue.
Hey, that was a very small version of Stuff We Should Chat About, but let's do it properly in Stuff We Should Chat About.
Here comes some stuff we should chat about. Stuff we should chat about. Books are list of stuff to chat about. Here comes some more stuff to chat about. We're chatting about stuff. Yeah, baby.
Okay, so you guys know how they're doing like a tourism. Tourism?
Oh, I'm having a tourism.
I'm gonna tour. Sorry.
You know they're doing a tourism. Oh fuck! Tourism campaign.
What happened to you?
What's going on?
Dying. It's so hot in here. They're doing.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yes.
Yes. Fuck you, piece of shit.
You dog.
Doing that and then clapping like a seal, you motherfucker.
This is what we sound like genuinely to people 15 years younger than us.
I know.
They're doing tourism campaigns to get people to visit America because no one wants to go there.
Yep.
So they're doing it like really heavily to like Canada, and they're doing it really heavily to Australia, and they're running video ads over here where the voiceover is like a deep-voiced American guy with, I guess, kind of like a neutralish Midwestern kind of accent, but it's that sort of American authority figure voice, which seems like the scariest possible choice to me that you can use for like, that is the voice of the kind of people that's making
us not want to go there.
Yeah.
You can't
you
be
will
like,
travel to America.
Yeah, it's basically like that, where they're like, this.
You got to get us a New Jersey guy. You got to get us a Boston guy.
Get something regional or get, you know what? Get someone that's not American. So it's sort of like, get Tilda Swinton to do it. You know, she's sort of ethereal. You know, she's very...
not American. Can't be a person of color, but not American.
Well, yeah, we don't want to put people away too much.
For the current, what we're advertising over there, you know.
But you need it. Like, I'm not... the moment I hear that voice, I'm like, oh, this is one of the videos they loop when you're like going through Customs and Border Patrol or whatever, which is... the scary stuff.
That's the thing that we're afraid of.
You're leading with the scary guy. Get someone, get Olivia Colman to do it or something.
Yes.
Where it's just like, it's gentle and it's sort of, it's a woman. First, definitely start with a woman because American men, scariest people on the planet.
Scary.
Need a woman for sure. I mean, I could probably, I'll do some ads for going to America. Like, hey, is there a brand of shampoo you can't get over here?
Yes.
You can get it in America.
Perfect. Yeah,
there you go.
Gives you a practical reason to go there.
Yeah.
Call to action.
Call CTA.
Comforting.
Yep.
You know, you're just like, oh, now that felt nice. Whereas the other guy, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to like shoot me if I accidentally reach into my pocket for my phone too quickly or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to get someone that's like, hey, no, it's all right. I've been there. They're not executing everybody yet.
You won't be executed. You're Australian. Someone else will be executed, but not you.
Yeah. And you're probably white. So if you're listening to this, you're probably white.
Hey, white, gender-conforming Australians, check out America. It's probably fine for you.
I mean,
it's probably fine for you. That's it.
Except for like
probably fine for you.
Probably fine for you. For you. Yeah.
Well, like I'm probably gonna go see my friends in a bit, go back to America, and like I mean, everything does seem much, 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 much worse for them in every conceivable way, but it's fun to visit.
It's a beautiful place. It's just the, like the roaming kidnap squads, I think, are kind of adding
roaming
like an
kidnap
element of
squads,
friction.
I think if you even get a little bit of cancer, you immediately become homeless because the country won't protect you. It's just stuff like that. That isn't
just general stuff like that.
Just general stuff like the country wants you to die. But that's not about – that's not my problem. No, not my monkey. Not
the
my circus.
The incremental horrors are mostly your problem. Like,
yeah, but it's probably fine for you.
The stuff about how they're like on all the government websites now saying that the things debunking the link between autism vaccines are actually based on very shaky science, that stuff won't affect you. You're going to Anaheim.
You're in a Disney World.
Go to Disney. Go Disney. Yay.
You're in the
no
Grand
vaccine.
Canyon. The RFK can't touch you with the Grand Canyon.
I'm going to go to Joshua Tree.
Oh, it's so beautiful out there. Demi, I'm going to give you a big old list of recommendations of places around there to check out. It's my favorite part of the country.
I would love that.
It's not Utah.
Well, I was just really embarrassingly, when I was in Japan, do you know the thing that I got most excited about? By the way, Lucy, did I show you how many fucking toys I won out of the claw machines?
Yeah, fuck yeah, you did.
Jesus Christ.
My phone strap is unbelievably heavy and jangly now because Tom said no more big toys from the machines. So I just got little ones. The things I got the most excited about was when we were walking through Dotonbori, I was like, this is just like Sotenbori. Hey, guys, I know where the biggest Don Quixote is.
It's true.
Japan.
Demi was walking around being like, oh, my God, it's just like my video game.
We walked past a place in Kyoto, I think, and I pointed to it. We were on a street I recognized, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that empty lot next to the children's park is where you learn Rush style in the Yakuza.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Demi went Yakuza mode.
I really did. I was so excited. There's a video of me like jumping from foot to foot looking at the big Don Quixote because I was like, Goro Majima spends a lot of time in there, and it's actually a one-to-one recreation.
And you know how it's becoming like a – because for the 30-year-old, the 30 to 40-year-old, going to Japan is like the best possible holiday you can have.
So sick.
Like exchange rate, pretty comparable.
Yeah.
It's like – it's strange, but it's not that strange. You could also get by just without really having to bother to learn any Japanese.
Yeah.
Like it's kind
of going on enthusiasm until Lucy came along and could actually speak to people.
God, that was a fun night, though.
That was great. That's the drunkest I think I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah. That was great.
I think young people now, like, we're going to Japan is like, it's chopped. Does that sound right?
Is it?
Well, I think it was like cool for a while. But then now it's like they've got to pick another, the younger people have to pick another cheaper, cooler place
they're
to go
too
to
young.
That will
it's
then
full of 35-year-old couples. Like it's not a young
but where are they
vacation.
Going? I've noticed there's a little bit of a Bali resurgence happening.
I've seen a lot of Bali lately.
It's like pendulumed back to being cool to go to Bali.
I kind of want to go, unfortunately.
I want to go. I've seen a few of my friends have been over there. I'm like, oh man, I think maybe having like beers on a beach would probably solve like every single problem I've ever had.
And my middle and high school language was Indonesian.
Oh shit, yeah, dog.
So I can
go
over there.
Go to Bali, Demi.
You can Lucy
sing.
In Bali.
I'm going to Lucy in Bali. Let's get Lucy in Bali.
Live, laugh, Lucy.
Lucy. I can go. Yeah, you know how many people are going to hear me singing heads, shoulders, knees and toes on the beach.
Don't mind if a white girl speaks a little Bahasa.
What would I like for lunch? Kapala bahu lutut kaki lutut kaki.
This is the preamble. I'll get to it.
Oh my God, sorry. It's hard to switch back when I get back to Australia.
Hey, Hey, Barley, that's got lots of nice nature. We talk about nature in Nature Corner.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong. We'll take a stroll, Nature Corner. Rob a crab, sit my dick.
This comes to us from WTNH in
Country Roads.
Every fucking time! From WTNH in Derby, Connecticut? Derby?
Probably. Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's Connecticut, it's probably Derby.
Yeah, Connecticut. Oh, New England? Definitely Derby.
Yeah.
Derby pizza shop owners defend choice to keep raccoon as pet.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, fair.
Yeah,
I don't. You know what, guys? Fine.
Okay.
I guess it's cute. Go on then.
They're so cute. Like, they're pretty cute. But I know that, like, possums, ring-tailed possums are cute as fuck. I don't have the impulse to be like, oh, this one's sick. Instead of taking it to the vet, I'm going to keep it. Yeah.
The only time I've done that is, like, with a spider that I found that only had 5 legs. And then once it was better, I fucking chucked it out the window. You know? Well, yeah. I released it. I didn't.
You weren't just like, hey,
just
fuck
freeze
you.
Me to...
Yeah.
I think they're so light you can't hurt them by throwing them.
Yeah, but pretty much. I think it's like how like cats kind of don't reach like terminal velocity or whatever. That's why they don't really get hurt by falling and stuff. I think it's the same with spiders.
The thing is if you're dropping a cat from 100 stories is exactly the same as dropping one from 30 centimeters off the ground.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, here's a story from the Scientific American. In November 14th, raccoons are showing early signs of domestication.
I saw that. We're cutinizing them.
Yeah, city-dwelling raccoons seem to be evolving a shorter snout, a telltale feature of our pets and other domesticated animals.
Yes, let's go.
You're going to be able to get one in the store soon.
Floppier ears, too.
I was just going to say, because I know specifically somebody in you guys' Discord, I think, has a... skunk.
Yeah.
Right?
What?
I think this is someone who does wildlife rehabilitation stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but this skunk, I think, was like, I'm not sure whether they still have it because I assume if they do, it's because it couldn't be rehabilitated. They were just like, no, you're too like a cat. It's the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. They do little stamps. Have you seen a skunk stamp when they get mad at you?
Yeah. They bop their little feet.
Their two front feet, they go like, at you, and it is fucking adorable.
Like they're doing CPR?
Yeah, but on the ground, and they're like, leave me alone. It's so cute.
That's really
cute. It's even cuter when the little baby ones do it.
It's so yummy. Skunks is so cute, man.
Yeah, but they stink.
But they're stinky.
But they don't. They barely don't even really even do it, though.
Really?
And they're cute.
I guess they wouldn't if they were a pet.
Cartoons and movies lie to me?
I think so. I think that horny skunk that kept chasing around that cat who, by the way, bitch, just stop falling under like a paint tin. Because then he'll just leave you alone. I don't mean to
victim blaming. The victims of Pepe Le Pew.
I'm blaming the cat. Babe, look how you're dressed.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, God.
I could probably just beep out a continuous 60 seconds. That'd be fun.
Yeah, probably.
Cheryl and Richard Bartone, a mother and son who own Bartone's A Pizza, or as I believe we've been told to pronounce this.
A Pizza.
On Main Street in Derby are upset after a raccoon they were keeping outside the restaurant as a pet was taken by state officials.
How are you keeping it outside?
Well, first off, you weren't. Don't fucking lie to me. Don't tell me, it was an outside raccoon.
It was an outside raccoon.
You're watching TV on the couch with the raccoon. You're full of shit.
He didn't
just
come inside, you liar.
There's no way. He picked it. Time to hit the hay. I guess I'll just put you back outside. No.
You're
spooning that thing. Cheryl told News 8 that she found the raccoon, which she named Lila, alone a few months ago and knew she wouldn't survive, so she took her in. Quote, I just didn't want her to die, Cheryl said.
No.
That's fair.
Good excuse.
Cheryl said she became attached to Lila after a while of bottle feeding her and feeding her baby food. Richard said they kept her outside the restaurant the entire time she was in their care.
Okay, the fact that she brought up she was bottle feeding her makes me completely think she was breastfeeding.
100%.
It's just like, why would you say that?
You don't have to say that. Just say you were feeding her. You could
just say feeding her, yeah.
Why did you already have baby food?
talking to the reporter. Yeah, it's a milk-fed raccoon. What style? What style was I doing it?
What's the normal one?
Not breast milk. Not breast milk.
Way to milk feed.
Quote, it was outside the entire time. Never stepped foot at this restaurant. And the health department came and we passed with flying colors, Richard said.
Don't believe you.
It was never breastfed in here.
We breastfed, bottle fed it outside.
Well, it didn't set foot inside the restaurant because it would always climb under our pizza maker's hat so that it could help,
Yes.
Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection officials who took Lila in October after receiving an anonymous tip said she is in the care of a wildlife rehabilitator and will be released back into the wild when she's ready. That's one department, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. Are they looking after the nukes and the raccoons that are kept illegally as pets?
They look after nukes, rooks. That's it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's, I mean, yeah, I leave it alone. Leave the raccoon alone. But also, I get it.
I think
I understand.
This is really one of those things where in the large, my opinion, pretty just like don't get wild animals as pets or whatever. And then every time I see a single instance of it, like one that makes the news, I'm like,
that's pretty cute though.
Go on. Lila seems to really vibe with your whole Abeets situation.
There's, I mean, my friend Miles, his mum is a like wildlife rehabilitator broad. So like when, you know, that people find a crazy possum or whatever on the road and it's all injured and stuff, or a joey or anything like that, she'll come get it and rehabilitate them. But every now and then she lucks out. And they're a geriatric animal, which means she can't release it. And now she has a new pet. And then she just keeps them. And one time she introduced me to a possum that she named Borat. And I was like, I really love this guy. He's really cool and cute. And she was like, yeah, look at his ball sack. His ball sack was like, it was so long. She was like, just try and support his ball sack while we feed. I was holding him and she was like, you can just give him a little bit of banana because we have to weigh him. And she was like, try not to let his nuts hit anything because he had a really long nut sack.
Oh my god.
She was like, yeah, it'll be uncomfortable. And I was like, yeah, I fucking bet. What the hell?
You were plus when we weigh him, you gotta make sure his nuts aren't spilling off the scale.
Exactly, because then we'll get an inaccurate count.
Can you get his pooling nuts off the counter and get them back onto the scale, please?
Fuck. Quote, I don't know if we have to apologize for saving something, but I'm not sorry, and I hope my mother's not sorry as well. I haven't checked with her, but it is my fervent wish that she feels no remorse.
She's not sorry because it was a bottle. It was bottle fed.
It was a bottle fed the whole time.
How many times do we have to say this? All right, so the question was, is this your signature?
No matter how many times the press comes out here, we will insist that my mother's nipples remained unsucked by raccoon mouth.
And I don't suck them either. I don't drink it.
No one's sucking on them at all.
No one is. What would that? How would you even?
And when? After you close the restaurant, everybody else has left. That would be crazy.
I mean, I guess that would work. Suck?
That'd be so weird.
News 8 reached out to the Naugatuck Valley Health Department to confirm that the restaurant is in good standing with the health department and has not heard back. So are these guys like fine, or you don't want to say? Okay.
All right.
Health department's sick of hearing about it, I think. Stop telling me about your mother's tits. Just stop.
I didn't ask.
I never asked.
It's all you talk about. Have you guys seen the guy who feeds hot dogs to all the raccoons that are on his porch?
Yes.
Obviously, it's not good to feed them hot dogs.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Very high but salt. But high salt.
It's pretty cute, though.
But they are his friends now. So, and it's cute to see all the raccoons.
See, in the large, I think that's bad. But in the specific, that's just great.
I know. Unfortunately, it's really nice to see their two little hands reach up and take a hot dog.
It's pretty cute.
You can't, but you shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't do it.
Give them a cabbage or something, or just leave them alone.
Maybe we should have like a lottery system for like, we say no one can have exotic pets like this, but like five people are chosen every year and like whatever animal you want, go nuts. One person gets a raccoon.
Yes.
One person gets a Komodo dragon. Mm. One person gets a blue whale. Like just whatever.
I was so fucking scared that I was going to be killed by a Komodo dragon when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They're
pretty
scary.
One of those fears that just like you hear about it once and it's like they're really like quicksand. Poisonous. Yeah, it was Komodo dragons is my quicksand. Yeah,
Komodo dragons is my quicksand.
Hey, I think this is definitely an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. Thank you, the listener, so much for joining us. And thank you, Demi, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have any other plugs other than the plug you did at the top? Where can we find you?
Well, if you Google me, I'm the only Demi Lardner. It's very, very useful.
We had the rest killed.
But, you know, I listen to Dragon Friends because it is really good. It's a really great cast. But if you haven't seen it yet, also watch So You Want to Win a Wiener.
Yeah.
So You Want to Win a Penis Pump.
So You
Want to
Win a Wiener's Pump.
Wiener's Wump. on YouTube, you have to write Demi Lardner Game Show because we couldn't include penis in the title for lack of monetization. So
fair.
It's a really great show and I'm very proud of it.
It's wonderful.
And Lucy left.
She's disgusted by your self-promotion.
She cannot stand to hear the word penis. Thanks, Demi.
Yeah, thank you. And if you, the listener, not you, Demi, want more of this, we do bonus episodes every single fuck a week for like $5 a month. You can get twice as much. We have
every
a backlog
week.
Of 400 bonus episodes you've never heard and about 200 good ones. Well,
I listen
worth
to
checking
them.
Out.
It's worth it.
We've had a few people recently be like, I'm listening from the start. I'm like, you're listening to political news from Australia from 8 years ago.
I just wouldn't.
Very few jokes.
It's and it's irrelevant now.
Literally meaningless. The horrors came to pass.
Yep.
History ended.
But thank you for your dedication, even though we all think you shouldn't be doing it. You won't hear this for like another 5 years.
When you catch up, let me ask you, was it worth it?
Was it worth it?
Yeah.
And at what cost? We will catch you next week. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.